You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. This is MLB.com Extras, American League Championship Series Edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and today we're talking about the Blue Jays and Royals, the two best teams in the American League this year in the regular season, so only fitting that they meet on this stage. They both had to work extremely hard to get to this point. Very emotional series. The Royals against the Astros, of course, and the Blue Jays against the Rangers. Both win in dramatic fashion in Game 5. And here we are. We're going to bring in Jeffrey Flanagan and Gregor Chisholm to join us and talk about these two clubs and how they match up. Jeffrey, let's start with you, since the Royals were on this stage 1 year ago. They're back where I'm sure they feel they belong. They were really up against it in Game 4 against the Astros, but I think they proved once again that this is a club that is almost better when it faces adversity like that than it is when things are nice and easy. We saw in September they had the big division lead, and that was their worst month of the season, but they were really pushed to the brink against the Astros. They really responded.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, I think a lot of us, though, in that eighth inning in Game 4 were already thinking about off-season plans, and I talked to some of the coaches, and they won't say this publicly, of course, but even they were starting to think, oh, this is it. This is just going to be one of those series where, you know, it's a playoff series and anything can happen. But kind of miraculously, they strung together, you know, five straight hits and somehow came up with five runs and won that game. And the home crowd last night, of course, would not let them lose. And here we go again. We're back with the Blue Jays, and should be a really fun series, I think. Everyone's kind of looking forward to it from both sides, especially after all the fireworks that went off in Toronto at the end of July and early August. It should be tense.
Yeah, it should be tense. Greg, are you expecting, obviously there's a lot of emotion in that series with the Rangers. We saw it boil over in Game 5. And, of course, as Jeffrey alluded to, there was some bad blood with these clubs in early August, both on the field and on Twitter and everywhere else. What are you expecting in terms of that layer to this series?
I think it's definitely going to carry over. I mean, these two teams, I don't think they're particularly fond of each other. The Blue Jays, just kind of looking at that as an organization, I mean, this is a team that you know, has had some run-ins with multiple teams this year as well. I mean, you look at the Baltimore Orioles feud with Darren O'Day. There's a lot of people across the league that kind of take exception sometimes to the way the Blue Jays play. It's with a lot of emotion, a little bit of swagger. You know, Texas's Sam Dyson certainly didn't appreciate the way Jose Bautista reacted after his home run, but that's just something that the Blue Jays tend to do. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again this year where it has caused some situations. And, you know, I would expect some of that previous, you know, experience earlier this year against Kansas City to resurface at some point. I mean, both of these teams are teams that like to pitch inside as well. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we have an incident or two before, you know, this is all said and done.
How about you, Jeffrey? Do you think that's pretty inevitable here, or cooler heads prevail? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, like Gregor said, I mean, their team has been involved in some scrapes this year, and the Royals certainly have too. I mean, they came out of the gates kind of as the bad boys of baseball and, you know, got into a fracas with Anaheim and the White Sox and the A's and then Toronto again. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Eddie Volquez is the game-one starter, and that whole thing's what flared up in Toronto. When Josh Donaldson comes to bat in the first inning tomorrow night and Friday night, you know, the first pitch that goes inside, you know, I mean, there's going to be some hooting and howling from the crowd. And who knows if Josh turns around and looks at the umpire, and are there going to be warnings issued? You know, the players all said today, and I wasn't in the Blue Jays locker room, but the Royals say, like, it's over, it's past us, but we all know better. I mean, they have long memories, and the first time there's going to be any incident where there's going to be anything thrown inside, I think the umpires are probably going to start warning benches.
Yeah, you almost wonder if it's a situation the umpires will get out in front of before Game 1 even begins. Mm-hmm. And have a conversation. We'll see. But clearly, I mean, you also, on this stage, you don't want to rob pitchers' ability to go inside if that is their game plan. So that'll be an interesting element of this series for sure. Another one to me, Gregor, I mean, you know, if you would have drawn this up going into October, you'd say the Blue Jays are at an extreme disadvantage here just because of how well they've played at home, and they lost that last series of the season and therefore lost the home field advantage to the Royals. But then they go out in that Rangers series and they save their season by winning two games on the road. So I guess it's just one of those things where October just throws out all the scripted storylines and kind of invents its own.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is a team that kind of down the stretch as well had really turned things around on the road. I mean, you look at the first half of the season, they were dreadful on away from Rogers Center, and that was one of the reasons why, you know, they were sitting around the trade deadline with a 500 record. It was a team that thrived at home and struggled on the road, and they changed that a little bit over the final 2 months to the point where I think it, you know, built up some confidence in there. And I mean, Rogers Center is always going to be an advantage for them simply because they're a little bit more familiar with the turf than other teams are. There is a little bit of an advantage there. But I think overall this is a team that, you know, over the last month or so really gained a lot of confidence. And then obviously going into Texas, you know, they were basically written off by, you know, most people. You know, you lose the first two at home in a best-of-five series, you don't really think it's going to be going back to Toronto, let alone finishing that series with a victory. And the Jays were able to do that. So, you know, I don't think they're too worried about it. And I don't think they were too worried about it going into the postseason to begin with, to be honest with you. I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, they went after home field advantage, but they didn't go all in for home field advantage. We saw them rest a lot of guys down the stretch. They pushed back David Price's start. They gave some of the regulars a rest down the stretch as well. I don't think they were overly concerned about which team would have home field advantage in that series. And that may end up being a mistake, or it may not end up being a non-factor. It's something we're going to have to wait and see.
These teams were pretty evenly matched in the regular season, you know, in run differential and whatnot. But obviously, you initially turned to the pitching matchups here. And, of course, because both of these teams went to Game 5, the rotations are a bit more jumbled than they'd be if they had a few days to set things up. But, Jeffrey, you know, we saw in round one, the Royals went with Yordano Ventura on short rest in game four. Obviously, that's not a possibility here. He'll be pitching game two. Edinson Volquez, as you mentioned, goes in game one. And Johnny Cueto, coming off that magnificent outing against the Astros in game five, he'll go in game three. But what are your expectations for game four in this series?
Game four, it's really a crapshoot. I mean, they've got Chris Young and they've got Chris Medlund. Chris Young turned in a terrific outing earlier in the Astros series, but he's a fly ball pitcher, and it'll be in Toronto where the ball tends to carry well. And against those hammer throwers, you got to wonder if that's going to be the right call. Medlund now hasn't pitched for quite a while, so that's the other factor that Ned's going to have to consider. It's a tough call for him. You know, Danny Duffy would be one choice too, but he's in the bullpen now, and they're comfortable with him there. So, under my head, I'd probably lean toward the veteran leadership of Chris Young, hoping that he can somehow, you know, hit his spots and keep the Blue Jays from hitting home runs. But Nets said definitely today that they will not go with Volquez on 3 days rest. We will see a game four starter.
And Gregor, of course, John Gibbons was vindicated with his bold decision to use David Price in an extended relief outing in game four and go with Marco Estrada in game five. Talk about the way this Blue Jays rotation sets up for this series now.
Yeah, they're set up quite good right now. You know, having the ability to go with Marco Estrada in game one, you know, Estrada's really been, you know, really the Jays' best pitcher all year, and that probably sounds surprising for a lot of people out there, but if you look at his numbers going all the way back to the beginning of June, I mean, John Gibbons said a few weeks ago that he thought he was the guy who saved the Blue Jays season. And in a lot of ways, he's right, because he was the really stabilizing force for that rotation before they had the new recruits and guys like David Price and then the return of Marcus Stroman in the final month of the year. Estrada was really the glue guy. And, you know, for a long time, I was waiting for him to hit a bit of a bump in the road, maybe become a little bit gassed as he, you know, surpassed his career high in innings. But he's continued to succeed. And, you know, he was had a very, very pivotal start against Texas in Game 3 where the Jays missed an awful lot of opportunities early on to break that game wide open, and they were facing on the brink of elimination. And he went out inning after inning with a shutdown inning and really, you know, not single-handedly won that game for Toronto, but came pretty close to doing that. So I think there's a lot of confidence there. And, you know, David Price will be Game 2. You know, his routine's been messed up a little bit with the bullpen work, but you know, he still should be pretty fresh. He's a guy who hasn't started since game one of the DS. So Then you go from there, and you go Stroman in Game 3, and then R.A. Dickey in Game 4. And they like Dickey at home in Game 4, simply because that gives him an ability to pitch with the knuckleball under the dome as opposed to having to do that in Kansas City. So in terms of the rotation, they're set up quite nicely right now.
All right, I'm going to throw this one out to each of you. Give me an X factor for this series when you look at these two lines. When you look at the position players, Jeffrey, I'll start with you. Who's the Royals' X factor in this series, the way it matches up?
Well, I think that they've got several guys, really, who have not gotten off to good starts here in the playoffs so far. And then, you know, Eric Hosmer's one, Alex Gordon's another. Mike Moustakas is hitting poorly in the first five games. And those have been their predominant, you know, left-handed hitters who produced throughout the season and through last year's postseason. They have not done much here. I would expect one of those guys to kind of erupt here in this series and maybe be an X factor. It's hard to determine which one, but they've not really fired on all cylinders yet from the left side of the plate. They've carried them all year. That they're going to have to come through in this series, and we'll just have to wait to see which one.
Gregor, how about you? Who should we be harping in on?
Well, I mean, with that Jays lineup, it really is kind of pick your poison. You can point to, you know, as many as probably seven guys in that lineup. It's very, very deep. To me, the X factor is actually on the defensive side, and it's Russell Martin I think he's going to be a big key to this series in terms of stopping the running game. And we've seen him ranked top three all year in the major leagues and throwing out base runners. He's had a very good year. You're not going to see him in game one. It's going to be Deion Navarro, who's actually done a pretty surprising job this year throwing out runners as well. But after Estrada started, it'll be Russell Martin after that, and I think he's going to really hold a lot of the keys to stopping Kansas City's ability to manufacture a lot of runs, because we've seen how much they like to run, and we've seen it in October last year as well, how crucial that can be at this time of the year. And so I think there'll be a lot of eyes on Martin and the Jays' pitching staff to try and limit the number of steals.
I agree, absolutely. Yeah, Martin's thrown up 40% of base stealers over the last three seasons. The league average in that time is 28%, so he's definitely a leap back there. And actually, Gregor, the Brett Cecil injury, the calf injury, how does that impact the bullpen for this series? How do you feel they match up against Kansas City in that regard? Because we know, obviously, that Royals bullpen is pretty nice.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of a reason why the Blue Jays won't win this series, you're probably going to look at the bullpen. There were some encouraging signs against Texas. You know, Aaron Sanchez had a real bounce back series. He was struggling towards the end of the year. He seems to have turned things around a little bit. And Roberto Osuna, was lights out for Toronto as well. But you know, we saw some glimpses of issues with him down the stretch as well. There's no question that losing Cecil is a huge blow to this team, because they don't have a guy who can replace him. Aaron Loop had to miss a couple of games in the division series because of a family issue. He's expected to be back for game one and for the series. That will help. But he's not the elite kind of guy that Brett Cecil is. And now Aaron Loop is also the only left-hander that they have out there. So you're going to really have to see the Jays, you know, avoid those matchups that normally you would like to see at this time of the year, bringing in a lefty to face a lefty. They don't really have that luxury. Instead, they're going to have to trust some of their young guns in Aaron Sanchez, Roberto Osuna, and then the trade deadline acquisition and a guy like Mark Lowe to really shut things down.
All right, should be a great series, a rematch of the 1985 ALCS, and should be a lot of fireworks. Both we see the way the Blue Jays can hit home runs, and there should be some emotional fireworks as well with two teams' history from the regular season. So I want to thank Gregor and Jeffrey for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, American League Championship Series Edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.